She's constantly praying for her and purgatory.
It's so sad.
And I know there's a Catholic program, and her name is Sister Angelica, and they ask her like about purgatory. She says, "Oh yes," and I start talking to the TV.
Yeah,
it's the day today, the 4th.
During political times.
Third.
Okay.
We were talking about that because right now Hitler's not in hell; he's in Hades. Correct? Hades is. You don't go to hell till you're judged on the great white throne. From understanding.
Okay.
So, I mean, hell's not going to be hell till God says you go to hell. I mean, right now there's like a Hades or a zone that they're waiting, right?
Yeah, Hades and Abraham's bosom.
Right.
That's what separates in the Old Testament.
I wonder if that's where they got purgatory from, though. You know, the...
I don't know.
That's where I was thinking. I was thinking that exact same thing.
They must have got it from someplace.
Yeah.
I'm doing good, Jerry. Thanks for your presence this week.
It's good to see you.
I'll bring you up to date.
And Jody, good to see you. I've already said hi.
Sam's going to be recording, I think.
Yeah, I already got to go.
Yeah, we're trying to work out a plan for that. Valerie, you didn't get your seat today.
I know.
Okay. Just like a recording device up here and
figure
that out. I don't know much about it, but I'm curious on... Because everybody's YouTubing and all this stuff now, so it can't be that expensive to buy some equipment and throw it up here. You know what I mean? Yeah, have something a little, not on your cell phone, you know, something a little more professional. And it's easy to do it in here. So.
Isn't that Ring camera? Isn't those Ring cameras like that?
Yeah, they're like that. There's so much cool technology. But we could get a small little camera, decent microphone. That every Sunday we record class. We can set it up to where it just focuses on Tim or whatever. I'm curious about this.
We're putting names on all the seats now.
Yeah.
This is good for the future.
Morning, Tammy coming, right?
Yeah, she's out there talking right now.
You guys, I put a card out there. It's just to say hello to Tony and Nancy Gura. So if you want to sign it, say a little hello to them. Yeah.
Good
to see you guys.
Yes,
over there,
I
stole your spot. Sorry. I could go. I was just recording. That's why.
I brought in some cards that she wanted me to hand out. I forgot them last month, and I thought about it 3 or 4 times yesterday, but I didn't.
I could move another chair if you want. You sure? Okay.
Crazy game yesterday, wasn't it?
Those two players, you never see plays like that.
No, I was just, we were in Pittsburgh. We actually went to 2 jazz concerts, one Friday night, one Saturday night. So Saturday, we were in the Strip District, and there's a place called Putt Pittsburgh. It's a putt-putt place inside, and they serve alcohol, regular drinks, food. Holy smokes, I was blown away. When we walked in, there was probably about 50, 60 people in there. When we left, there was over 300 people.
Wow.
There was 2 TV screens full of names. You have to wait. I'm like, man, this is amazing. I'm like, we could never do this in Youngstown.
Wow.
We just don't have enough people.
No, you don't, right?
I mean, it was incredible.
Wow.
But it was, that's where I watched the game.
Oh, you watched
it there? The whole game there, yeah.
That one play where it fumbled the ball over the pylon.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you really got to know the rules on that
exactly.
One.
As soon as I saw that ball went out of bounds, I'm like, that's a touchback.
Yeah,
I knew that.
But it had to go over the pylon.
It did.
It's just one of those. His leg and went right over.
It went out at the 1. They'd have the ball at the 1.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
That's a big change.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep. And that interception, the kid caught it. And
he pulled the
to get his foot down.
Yeah.
Man, if God's not with you, that's unbelievable.
We said that when my son was playing for that state championship game in high school. We said, you know what, you don't. It's not always just skill, man. You got to have everything.
Oh, the ball's got a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
We had a couple of fumbles.
And I hate to say luck. I hate to say whatever it is. Yeah. You just have to have all the stars.
In that
aligned.
Championship game, a kid from the other team broke up. He was gone.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he just hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody goes, he never got touched. So either God grabbed him or an angel, but he was gone for like an 80-yard run. All of a sudden, he just
Nobody knows what he's doing. Yeah. This kid went down like that. So. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. Trump said when he got shot, he stood there in shock or whatever. He wasn't sure what was going on. Heard the other bull, and then he felt something just bring him to his knees.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And he started to really believe, and he felt it just get down on his knees. So, because he's... He's an arrogant guy who probably would have stood there. Whatever, you missed me. Take another shot.
You're like the bionic man.
Yeah. Well, that was my third surgery this year.
Wow. That's crazy.
Your hip? That one, and what else did you have?
I had dental surgery right I was eating supper and cracked a wisdom tooth, and I mean, I just broke it. Mm. And so I had to get it extracted.
Yeah, I get that.
So they had to put
I got one of those too. Snapped it all the way down. Yeah,
I put the Novocaine in there, and then I don't know whether he took pliers or something.
Yeah,
pliers.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, right. Exactly what they look like. Right. Exactly. You got to make sure you get both halves out.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, I just want to say that I'm usually it's Carol Russell, but she couldn't be here today, so I'm collecting money for the Advent dinner. I should have a sign. But so I'll leave when the greeters leave so I can catch people, either for that or people to sign up to come.
Okay.
So that they'll know.
All right, well, I've had a number of questions, but I figured I'd wait till everybody's here to bring up to speed on the cancer surgery. Prior to going in, and it was scheduled, they had done a CAT scan. And I was telling Sam, you know, because I had the hip surgery, I had to go to my regular doctor that found an irregularity in the heartbeat that sent me to the cardiologist. Mm-hmm. Then the cardiologist put me on Eliquis because I had AFib. Because of Eliquis, they had internal bleeding. So they sent me to the urologist, and then he did the CAT scan that showed the tumor. Otherwise, they wouldn't have found it. And so once they did, after he got in, I talked to him after the surgery, he said that it was malignant. And it wasn't one, there was four smaller spots. Mm-hmm. I was telling Gary, it looked like a baseball diamond, like first, second, third base, or home. Yeah. And so he took it all out, and they sprayed some type of weed killer, like Roundup or something in there. You know. And then they, you know, you got to roll it around. You had the guy with the kidney stones over here understands what the...
Yeah. the old Rich does now, too. Yeah, having a stent in or a catheter.
Yeah. But it's amazing full color pictures, you know, and all that. They sent me home with all this junk.
What do you think? If they directly put, like, chemo directly on that?
I don't... It's something like that. It's a liquid, but it has to stay in your bladder for a period of time, and they roll you around, and then they finally... take the catheter out and the other stuff.
I wonder if that was what it was, and they just wanted it all coated. That's why the rolling around kind of...
Makes sense, though, rather than dumping that crap through your system just directly on it.
Yeah, but... it's he said that it's not the type of cancer that spreads, but it could be fast-growing. It's good you got it in an early stage. So whatever that means, but... whatever residual or remainder roots or whatever you want, that's why I called it weed killer. You know, you take the dandelion out and you shirt it around.
With the food coloring and the weed killer.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of relate to that. I can't pronounce the name that he told me.
I don't know what hospital he's going through.
No, I know. I'm not going there.
They got out the Roundup, you know.
Only Tim could joke about cancer. You got to believe in God and you could joke about cancer. Most people be freaking out about it.
Yeah. Thing, Steve called me later. I says, I'm better off after cancer surgery than somebody who doesn't know Christ. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
In fact, I was able to share Christ with one nurse before I went in. Her name was Cindy. You know, he asked me a question. Scripture's going to roll out. You know. So, yeah, I was able to give her three or four different and talk a little bit because she looked like she was stressing or something. I said, you need to calm down. You
know? She's
in there.
I would have been like, I'm out of here.
I don't know what winds people up, but I said, it's only a bad day if you believe it in Sydney. You know, I said, don't start there, you know. And then I shared scripture. Last scripture I told her this. I said, since you work in this, you know, when you operate on cancer and all these other people, And he says, though the outer man is dying, the inner man is renewed day by day. For these temporary light afflictions cannot compare to the glory set before us. While we look not at the things that are, but the things that are not. For the things that are temporary, and the things that are not are eternal. Have a good day.
Wow. You're right. Only a Christian would do that as he's facing bladder surgery.
Yeah. So I was able to share. I was happy. I was able to share Christ where I went in for surgery.
Yeah, that's right.
We had a scenario. Last night we went to the concert, and I'm not really into people preaching about, you know, voting and everything. And he stopped and he said, you know, please everybody go out and vote.
Just do your due diligence.
Do your due diligence. Yeah. And so, you know, I said to her, I said, well, Jesus is in control. The guy behind, right in front of me turned around and said, what'd you say? Say it again. I says, Jesus is in control. Yes, he is. I'm Reverend, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wow. Wow, you know. Just one of those things, yeah. You know.
It was a jazz concert.
Huh? Yeah. Amen. So, that's cool.
Yeah. Been somewhat an eventful week. But
did you know going in that it was more likely?
They suspicioned, you know, just because he recommended the weed killer, you know, after and they do that, like if you have cancer, I just didn't know how much. You know, they said it was like 3 centimeters, which is over an inch long. I thought it was one big long one, so I don't know if it was square, rectangular, or, you know, looked like a baseball. I don't know what it was. But there was 4 little ones. So he took those out, and then I think I go Thursday, and he'll give me maybe some more details, and then I think in a month or two, then they re-exceed. So I don't know, Jerry, if they give you another CAT scan where they, you know, that's what illuminated the first one, so do that. So I don't know. We'll see.
Probably. That would probably be the
meeting. Yeah. I mean, I'm only on 3 surgeries this year. I can get another one in before Christmas.
Yeah, your deductible's met, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You're blessed, though.
Yeah.
A friend of ours, he went golfing in August. When he was going to have surgery, they found something in his blood.
Yeah.
He's dead now.
Yeah.
This was that quick, you know.
Yeah, we just found out today that a girl that we graduated with had passed on Friday. I don't know of what. But then I found out a couple weeks ago, but now I know exactly what's going on. My cousin Kyle, some of you might remember, she was the one that had the husband who was a quadriplegic in our family. Anyway, Kyle had some back pain, and she took herself to the ER, and she has advanced stage 4 small cell carcinoma or whatever, you know. But it was lung cancer that metastasized into her liver and her kidneys and her bones.
Oh,
so,
yikes.
I mean, to find this all out like that, you know, in one.
Yeah.
So.
We have funeral today because of this guy. I mean, this is with Jeff's. My youngest first coach.
And she's like
Joe
60,
Colella from Poland.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So she's going to fight. She's going to do whatever. But I just think about it and I think to myself, she's worse right now than my mom was before my mom even did any chemo or radiation. And I don't know what kind of fight she's going to do. But she does know the Lord. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And she just wants to live as long and be as happy as she can for as long as she can.
Right.
So how old is she?
Like 67, maybe. Mm-hmm. She's a couple years older.
But, you know, I know what it is not to be promised tomorrow because I had brain surgery in 91. And even Herb Queen, who was here, he says, you know, only about 10% wake up. I says, that's good to hear that.
Then they
said, if you talk to your wife about life insurance, and they gave me percentages on what would work and what he says, you know, some of my patients have lived like 8 years, and maybe you could maybe even get, that was back in 91, and I'm on 33. So when he said, if you talk to your wife about, she hadn't cashed it yet.
Doesn't count.
So I'm playing on house money now. I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Sam?
I hear you. I hear you, brother.
All right. I also know this. Last week, I went back to Corinthians 2:12, where about the thorn in the side, because, you know, twice I wake up and I got this going through my head because I was on 1 Corinthians 15. So I went back and talked about it. Well, he put the same scripture back up in my head, so I got to explain it more. I realized there's a reason he put it back, the same stuff back in my head. I didn't cover it all, so... I'm going to start today, and I'm going to separate the flesh and the spirit as best I can. And then I want to talk about purpose and things like that after we pray. So let me lead, and then you guys can take your turn. Dear Lord, my God, and my Heavenly Father, we thank you for your ever presence and the peace and joy that you fill our lives with. We thank you for forgiveness and redemption so we can deal with the difficulties that remain in this world. Lord, I feel such a need to pray for the lost this morning, the people that don't know you. I pray that they would see the light of the gospel. I pray that they'd see the light of the gospel for those in our own families that don't know you yet, for those that sit in that box in front of the church or boxes. I pray, Lord, soften their heart. Bring them to you. I pray that your word goes forth from this pulpit today. I look forward to sharing communion. For this is the body broken for us. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the blood of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. Drink ye all of it. We thank you, Lord, that we can share communion together today. Praise the Spirit lead you.
Lord God, we thank you for the hand that you had on Tim while he was having this surgery. Please let all of the outcome be a positive thing in his favor. We pray also for Elda, who had to be cardioverted out of her AFib this week, and hope that she's feeling better.
Amen.
We pray this week for calmness, peace throughout this country with the election, that everybody just knows that, or they should know that everything is in your hands, Lord. Nobody should be excited. Nobody should be fretting. Everything that's going to happen is what you want to happen, Lord. It's going to be the result that you want. So let us all be assured in your presence. Let us all be assured that you have things in control. Thank you again for Tim's surgery and your hand on him. In Jesus' name.
Lord God, thank you for protecting and blessing my friend Tim. Just I echo the prayers. Just bless him and just let this healing happen and let this cancer go away. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, God, for this class. Open our ears and just help us to learn.
And Lord, I pray again for that family that has the funeral today, yeah, for Joe Colella's family. Lord, be with them. Help them to get through this, and also help them to know that, again, everything is in your hands.
Lord, I pray for the family of Sue Bayes. I haven't seen her for a while, but I know she is a believer. I just ask that you give the family comfort and peace. I pray for my cousin Kyle, who is going to be going through decisions and cancer decisions and treatments and things like that. And I just ask, Lord, that you give her the knowledge that she needs and give her comfort and peace also, Lord, in the time that she has left on this earth. I know she believes in you, and I know that my mom and my family and her husband are waiting for her. So either way, she's in your hands, Lord, and I'm so happy about that. I love you, Lord, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord Heavenly Father, special prayer for my Aunt Judy, who's dealing with her lungs and COPD, and she had a stent put in her lung, and the first one didn't work. The second one seems to be working, but I know she's struggling every day to breathe, and she's frail, and she needs you, Lord God. Please bless her and just help her to have peace today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, I also pray for Cheryl Mayhew, that she has a quick recovery, that she starts to feel better, that she knows that everything that she went through is what needed to be done to take care of all the issues that she had with her valve and her her bypass. So, Lord, I just pray that she has a strong and quick recovery.
We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers as we pray for a nation that needs revival. We pray for a nation that is looking for leadership. I pray they'd look to you first. One nation under God. Lord, I would pray that we would get rid of the division and work toward unity together as one nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I said I wanted to talk more about 2 Corinthians 12:2, and we looked there at the thorn in Paul's flesh, and three times he went back to God in appeal, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So I'm led to break it apart this morning. And to break it apart, I want to go to John 3. And in John 3, we see Nicodemus, a leader of the Pharisees, that came to Jesus by night. And he said, start with verse 1. I'm going to paraphrase from 1 to 7. And he says, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? He says, unless a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, see first. So until I decide to put Christ in my life, I can't see the kingdom of God. And then he explained further, he separated it. When he said, what must I do? Jesus says, you must be born again. You must be born of water and born of spirit. Well, born of water is natural childbirth. That is the flesh that Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 2:12. And we've been born with a sin nature that we can revert back to. It's a part of who we are. And a lot of people look at Christians. See, when you became a Christian, did you become perfect? Or you can still have issues? So he gives us the ability in our Christian life so we can keep our relationship with him. And it's about our relationship with him. See, he knew every sin that we did commit and were going to commit when he went to the cross, because there wasn't any that he missed. You know what I mean, Lisa, about purgatory? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in Hebrews 13:8, if somebody wants to look it up, or I'll just tell you. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and it doesn't say tomorrow, it says forever. So in that, he didn't miss anything. Some people say, well, I got to pray up to the ones I can, and if there's ones in the future. The reason you pray in the future is to recognize your relationship with him, just the same as we're going to have communion. It says in 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, we're a part of the body of Christ. We have fellowship with one another. And then what's it say to him? It says this. And the blood of Christ Jesus, his son, will redeem us from all unrighteousness. What percentage is all?
100.
So he didn't miss any. But it's important in our daily life that we walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Prior to that, he says, this is the message we've heard from the beginning and announced to you today. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. See, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can drive out darkness. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can drive out hate. So we include that light in our lives. The Christian is a lamp on a hill. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. We are lights in a dark world. But in order to illuminate, we need to walk with him in the light and recognize, the same as we examine ourselves before we have communion, if there be anything about us that we need to confess. Is there anything we need to change? Is there anything we need? So we can walk in the light. He already knew the things we were going to do wrong. So we keep that relationship with him, that daily relationship. So we keep that inner voice and we can continue to back and forth. When your spirit talks, or when you hear from your spirit, one of the things you want that relationship for is these three things. One, communion or communication with him. It also gives you intuition, some people would call discernment. It helps you to know something as simple as right and wrong. It also allows for conscience. So those things exist in your spirit, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So recognize who is in you or who's inside you. Now here, let's read. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter to the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is anyone who is born of the Spirit. Now let's take this back to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. It says, boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know. He's talking about his old self. God knows such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. So he didn't want to talk about, you know, what he saw. On behalf of such a man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast. The man that was caught up in heaven is what he's talking about. Except in regard to my weaknesses. So he recognized that he had weakness in his flesh because of what he used to do. He used to persecute the church. Could you imagine? You're the one who used to go after the church, persecute the church, and then the Lord calls you on the road to Damascus, I want you to go out and speak and bring people to my church. Now, is that as opposite as you can get? So with that exposure to his old life, it's like, you're calling me, the guy who used to persecute the church? See, sometimes even though you got born again and even though you come to Christ, you can go on in later years and think about who you used to be. You can think about maybe some of the things, you know, Paul says in Romans 7, 25, he says this, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death? That's the flesh. He called it a body of death. And then he says, thank God he will, Jesus Christ. So that body of death, that flesh, says the wages of sin is death. He recognized his sinful nature. And he goes on here. And he says, for I will be speaking, now let's back up, to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish. For I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from this so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. For this reason, the surpassing greatness of the revelations, what God has shown him. For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. Now, a lot of people think he had an actual thorn in his flesh. Now, I've had thorns in my finger. It takes maybe a week to fester. You get them out, and it doesn't bother you anymore. But didn't the same thing bother him three times? And he tells you exactly what that is. To me, it was a metaphor. It says, a thorn in my flesh. So what was it? He says, a messenger of Satan to torment me. So a messenger of Satan is a fallen angel. In other words, angels were messengers as well as warriors. So this angel had a message to remind him on a daily basis of who he was and what he did to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. It's funny that he gives me this scripture right before I have cancer surgery. Now, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. That was an answer. So when he said, I have given you a messenger from Satan. What is the thorn in your side? A messenger from Satan. So what's God's answer to the messenger of Satan? Grace. Now, does grace solve a physical problem? It solves a spiritual problem. Correct?
Correct.
See, it says that he had visited the third heaven. He saw what it would look like. In other words, and he couldn't talk about that man. So he was brought back. God did not, in other words, listen, Paul, I don't want you to talk to the people about the sweet by and by. I want you to tell them about the rotten here and now. See, that's what we're dealing with, the rotten here and now. In case you haven't seen the campaigns.
Yeah, Paul could definitely relate to others that probably showed barbarism towards Christians and convert them. So
the other some thing of the that I can really dudes. The other thing I could really relate to Paul, he didn't get it the first time. He didn't get it the second time. It took him three times. That my grace is sufficient from you. Because what he used to do and what when he persecuted the church bothered him. But I can tell you this. If you're going to talk about anything, you need to go through it. See, I can talk about what it means to have brain surgery, I've been through it. Or open heart surgery, I've been through it. You want to talk about cancer? I've been through it. But if he's going to talk about grace, it's like, well, I read it in the book, and I think this is what... No. He had to go through it. He had to experience in his own self. He had to walk in those shoes. And because of that, he is able to talk about grace sufficient for you.
My inhaler, I think, was almost empty. But don't you think God also gave him that vision of heaven to get him through those tough times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in other words, here's the objective. He said, here's where we're going to get to, Paul. But we can't get there until you talk about grace. Until you bring them, they're not going to see what you saw. They're not going to get what you saw. They don't have a chance to get there without grace. And doesn't it say in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace, through faith, you were saved? Mm-hmm. Not of your own? Right. See, he gave us grace, but it had to go through something. Mm.
It had to go through your faith. You had to step out in it. You had to believe in it. When we talked about Joshua chapter 3 a few weeks ago, before they crossed the Jordan, it said the priest stepped in the water. Well, it's one thing to believe, but it's another to act on it. It's one thing to believe, it's another to act on it.
Because when you think of all that Paul went through, I don't think a normal human being could have done it. And I think that that's why God gave him that vision, was to get him through all this stuff.
Well, God already knew he had a hard head.
Right.
And he picked the biggest hard head that knew the Old Testament.
Right.
Because he knew if he could get him turned around, and he did, once he understood forgiveness and he understood it was for him and it was for everybody else, he could now go and preach to the Gentiles. But until he further understood what grace meant, how could he go tell everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If he didn't accept it himself, and it three times, I mean, about human nature, we have a tendency to go back or reflect or look at it. And Satan knows our buttons. Remember, you're not good enough. You're not worthy. Remember, it's no. My grace is sufficient for you. I want to visit that, but let's take a look at who brought the goods. See, wasn't it Jesus who talked to him on the road to Damascus?
Yeah.
Right.
And he said, Saul, why do you persecute me? He took it personal. He's persecuting the church, but he says, Lord, who are you? And he found out. But he says, why do you persecute me? And then for 3 days he was blinded down on Straight Street. Ananias had to go in, healed his eyes, and then he was baptized. See, some Christians wade around in the shallows. When you get baptized, you got to get put in over your head. You know what I mean? You ever been in over your head? Yeah. They don't want you wading around the shallows. Yeah. You got to put out in the deep. Lynn.
And he suffered for the faith almost more than any other person. So, and I believe that that's why God gave him such a... it's one thing to believe. You can really, really, really believe, but it's still kind of abstract and theoretical. It's quite another thing if you have physically been taken to the third heaven. And so then, because otherwise, these things that he'd think, oh, you know what, maybe I was mistaken. Maybe God's not really with me when all those things were happening to him. But because he had such a dramatic experience with the Lord, he could know, like he could say, I know. And it could get him through being left for almost dead multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Let's go there and I'll tell you why. It says, I more so in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number. See, everybody else saw this too. How could this guy tolerate so much? How could they, why doesn't he just quit and go home? Often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked at night, and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches.
Hmm.
That was foremost in his mind. Concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? He was concerned from the churches. But he knew what it was like to hit the lowest of lowest points in a life. And that's why he could say, in my weakness, he is strong. God says, by grace, you have been saved. My power is perfected in your weakness because you're totally dependent on him.
It took effect, so now I'm okay. It takes a few minutes.
You know, the one thing he missed too, when he got shipwrecked the one time, he was getting a piece of wood and a viper bit him.
Right.
And all the people said, he's dead. And they all waited around.
No.
But he never did.
Yeah, I just read that. I was laughing.
So when you think about the difficulties in your life, he certainly has been. And this is a guy who used to persecute the church. So I submit to you, the messenger from Satan was to remind him of his former self. But he was reminded that God's grace, so who best could preach the gospel of grace rather than him? But let's go back to Jesus who brought the goods. If you go to 1 John, or if you go to John chapter 1, verse 1. You don't have to turn. I just tell. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So if the Word was in his beginning, what's in your beginning? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and his Word are one. And then it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us with glory only begotten from the Father. Glory is that holiness surrounded the container. And then he said it was full of two things. Grace and truth. He brought two things. He didn't say three. He didn't say four. He says, with glory only begotten from the Father. This is the Word that became flesh. So Jesus came with two things. Now, when we go to worship today, you know, Jesus said to that Samaritan woman at the well, the day is coming, whether in this mountain or in Jerusalem, my people are going to worship in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. So that's why we examine ourselves when we go into worship. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The one before it was 8. So here it is, full of grace and truth. We're going to worship in truth. Because we have been given grace by Jesus, one who has brought it. And we accepted it through faith. By grace, through faith, you were saved. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. It says, saved by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. In which Paul can say, yes, I was. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Yes, I did. According to the prince of the power of the air. Does that kind of look like a reference to the messenger? And of the spirit that is now walking in the sons of disobedience. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air. That messenger that wanted to remind him of exactly what it said above there. You were formerly dead in your transgressions. For all those who walk by the flesh, or through that sin nature. The wages of sin is death. The wages for all those who walk by the Spirit of God, they will be sons of God. So he's walking by the Spirit of God and not by the flesh of which the thorn was stuck in. Didn't say finger, hand, or anything. It said flesh. In the Amplified, since Valerie's here, it says sin nature instead of flesh. According to the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh. Formerly lived. Formerly lived. When did it change? For all those who are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So you can walk by the Spirit of God. Indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Notice it says of the flesh and the mind, because your mind is where your thoughts are, of where Satan has attacked to remind you of who you formerly were, the prince of the power of the air. Do you remember what you did? If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And said he would return at a later date, at a more opportune time. Well, if he did that for Jesus, isn't he going to do it for you too? Look for a more opportune time. And we're by nature children of wrath. By nature. We were born with a sin nature. Even as the rest, but God, being rich in what? Mercy. Because of his great love. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places. Seated us with him in heavenly places. If I ask you right now, are you standing up or are you sitting down? What are you doing?
Sitting down.
Yeah. So you have to realize where you are in Christ. You realize where you are in his classroom, you're sitting down. Well, he says here, spiritually, you're seated with him in heavenly places because of that grace. By grace through faith, you've been saved. So that in ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace, the surpassing riches in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Unmerited favor. You couldn't earn it, you did nothing to deserve it. A free gift. Not as a result of works. There's nothing you did to earn it. So that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship. In verse 10 it says this, for we are his workmanship. Now that means you didn't arrive because you came to, when you confessed with your mouth and you believed in your heart, you will be saved. But that's the point where your workmanship has started. You know, one of the things I did as a hobby, I work on antiques. And I remember bringing home a cradle rocker. It was a cherry cradle from 1850s. I brought it home in three bags. And my wife said, why don't you put it in the corner and just throw it out? But I put it all back together. I refinished it, cleaned it up. And Jack Shetler, if anybody knew, he put it down here in the stone tavern. He says, not going to put that in the front window. But it was a spindle spoke cherry cradle rocker. One you got to have, stick your foot on it so you rock the kid. Yeah. But what it looked like when I began, my wife told me the truth when she says, why don't you put it at the curb? Well, I wonder how many of us God could have put at the curb. But he said, no, we are his workmanship. Created in whom? Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. And then it says, which God has prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them. So as we've come to Christ, we have the ability to walk in the things that he has asked us to do. So before you get cancer surgery, you see Nurse Cindy and you share scripture with her before you go in. Right?
Yep.
So that you might walk in them. You know the first thing he says is go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that first word is go. Until we step out, until we go. But you can only go if you have faith. See, we've all been given a measure of faith. Reference Romans 12:3. We've all been given a measure. But it's not how much you've been given, it's what you did with what you got. Because many times, when you go in and see the doctor, oh, Tim, I've got something to tell you. We're going to have cancer surgery. We're going to operate on your brains next week. Really? The time we start to pray isn't because you got a bad doctor's report. Your Christian life is a day-to-day Christian life. The quality of a Christian life is direct proportion to their commitment to God, regardless of their circumstances. He says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your heart. When it says wash your hands, in other words, get the dirt off, clean up your sins, confess them, purify your heart. See, also in James it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, that will be tossed about like the surf of the sea. Let that man not ask anything of the Lord, for he'll not receive it. But if you ask, you need to ask in faith. So when it says purify your heart, in Matthew 5:8, it says this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now I reference Jesus who brought the goods, right? In faith and truth. Just stay with me on this. Blessed are the pure in heart. Do you know what happened when he said it is finished? The curtain was torn in half in the temple. It was torn from top to bottom. And then you know what it says? The curtain was torn in half, so we can now come boldly to the throne of what?
Grace.
Thank you. In other words, you weren't allowed to look at God because it would kill you. But he said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How did I get pure in heart? Because of the righteousness of Christ, the ones who brought the goods. In other words, full of grace and truth. And come boldly to the throne in Jairus' grace. So now I know why. But it said through faith. Now, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain to move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing will be impossible for you. But it's important for us to ask with the will of God. For this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we receive for that which we have asked for. So if I know my rights as a child of God, I have every right to ask for the things that he said I could have. Now, I want to talk about faith some more when I'm done with that. But I want us good to go. Ephesians 3 says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before you in brief, by referring to this, when I read you can understand my insight into the mystery." The mystery of Christ. Let's go to faith. Let's turn to Hebrews, and if somebody wants to read Hebrews 11:3. In 2 it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But in Hebrews 11:3, it says, "By faith the worlds were..." Good. Somebody want to read it?
"By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God..."
Hang on, Tammy.
Okay.
Read it one more time from the first part.
"By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God."
Hold it there. So if it was God had to use faith to prepare the worlds, By faith, God spoke. By faith, God said, and the worlds were prepared, right? When did he do that? Go back to Genesis chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." See, he created both. But then he talks about filling the earth. "By faith, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." And then in verse 3, "By faith," it says, "God said, let there be light." Verse 6, "Then God said..." When he dealt with the expanse. In verse 9 it says, "Then God said..." He had to speak. In verse 11 it says, "Then God said." In verse 14 it says, "God said." Then you go down to verse 20, and you know what it says? "And then God said." You go to 24, it says, "And then God said." You go to 26, it says, "And then God said." You go to verse 29, it says, "Then God said." And then you go to verse 31, it says, "Then God saw." What did he see? He saw what he said. But he had to say to see it. See, God had to say said so you could see saw. That's how he done did. So we could be blessed.
I have to record that, redo that in my mind.
There we go. Yeah.
It's recording now.
So it was by faith. But he had to say. So if you have an issue in your life, then I would suggest you have to say the same as he had to say. You have to use faith. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, you know what it says? Says the just shall live by faith. He tells us how to live. How do we conduct our life? If you look it back, how do you conduct your life? Is it by faith or by not? In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17, it says the just shall live by faith. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 11, it says the just shall live by faith. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38, it says the just shall live by faith. So there's four times, once in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament, he tells us how to live. So I say it's not coincidental that the word coincidence is not in the Bible either. Neither is the word luck. But it's not coincidental that he tells us how to live by faith. We have but one way to live by faith. By grace, through faith, we have been saved. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, when I took a look again this week at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I realized purpose. And when you read it, realize purpose, not your purpose, his purpose. His purpose was about salvation. And I don't know if you look at the New Testament, we are under a new covenant. We're no longer under the old covenant, which is law. Law was given to point out transgressions. But once I know those transgressions, then by grace through faith, that grace through faith, I can ask God for forgiveness. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, who's done two things. He has redeemed us and forgiven us because he can do it. He's the one that paid the price for it on the cross. No one else has. So when you take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we have one God and one mediator, because there's only one who paid the price to do it. We don't have to visit purgatory to find it. Or listen to Mother Angelica. Let's hold up here today. When I look at the purpose of the plan, in every book of the Bible, Jesus is mentioned. And his purpose and why he came was to save us from our sins. And the only way was the cross. To have a Christ, to have a cross, to pay that price so we can ask for forgiveness. And by grace, we can now come boldly to that throne of grace. Without it, we can't. For his is the only way, the truth, and the life. Anybody want to close in prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for talking to all of us today. Your message is just right on target, and I really needed to hear your voice, and help us to continue to hear your voice throughout the week, and let us be the light and the salt to this dark and evil world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, Sam, you're going to put that on like the Bethel Prince thing?
I'm going to send it to Steve, and then...